We never actually discussed who was going to do a cold open today, but yeah, not sure. Oh well, should we get started on this thing then?
Well, might as well.
It's
Maybe I'll
kind
wake up here in a second. All
slap yourself a couple of times while we do the introductions. We'll be fine.
right.
Yeah, I guess cocaine.
Yeah, a couple of bumps will do. That'll sort you right out, Kind of sounded like it as well. All right, you are listening to the Micro Machines podcast. This week we are going to be talking all about the Finnish Air Force during the Second World War because they have a rather eclectic set of aircraft that they flew with them. The Finland in World War II is a very interesting sort of subject in terms of whose side were they actually on. But I mean, in reality, they were just on their own side. I'm pretty sure if the Soviets didn't try and fuck with them, Finland would have just been like, you leave us out of it, mate. We'll just sit on the sidelines on this one.
Like, Callum, they have swastikas.
They had very close ties to Sweden, so, I mean, that...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think all those countries just wanted to stay out of it, so, yeah, you can't blame them. But before we get into that sort of conversation, we should do some introductions first. So you have me, Callum, in New Zealand, currently on a three-week-long holiday for the summer, where my entire holiday is going to be spent modelling at beaches and going fishing. This is going to be amazing.
Well, you got me, Garrison, out here in Kansas, not on holiday, because hospitals don't stop. And, yeah, I've got some coffee, and no idea what the fuck I'm going to do tonight during the podcast.
And you got me, Clint, in Indiana, who is on a Christmas shutdown for work. And I have a nice ice mountain spring water.
Very nice. So, this week, Clint will be taking over the hosting duties as he is going to go through the entirety of the Finnish Air Force. So this might be a bit
not
of
the
a
entirety.
Well, yeah, a majority.
Yeah, a good bit.
A decent amount. So I'm going to shut up for a bit, and I'm going to let Clint take over.
All right, let's. The founding, 6 March 1918. The Finnish Air Force, one of the oldest air forces of the world, predates the British RAF, which was founded as an independent entity on the 1st April 1918, and the Swedish Flygvapnet, founded on 1st July 1926. The first steps in the history of the Finnish aviation involved Russian aircraft. The Russian military had a number of early designs stationed in the Grand Duchy of Finland, which until the Russian Revolution of 1917, formed an anonymous Grand Duchy under the Russian Empire. Soon after the Finnish Declaration of Independence of December 6, 1917, the Finnish Civil War of January to May 1918 broke out, in which the Soviets sided with the Reds, the socialist rebels with ties to Lenin's Bolshevik Party, and Finland's White Guard. The Whites managed to seize a few aircraft from the Soviets, but were forced to rely on foreign pilots and aircraft. Sweden refused to send men and material, but individual Swedish citizens came to the aid of the Whites.
Nothing like a little bit of mercenary work. Kind of a common theme back in the day, wasn't it? You got the you got mercenaries there. You've got, technically, Battle of Britain. The Americans were sort of mercenary pilots, if you think about it.
The Flying Tigers.
Yeah, Flying Tigers were definitely mercenary pilots. So. Yeah, bit of a thing back then. I wonder, that's probably not a thing nowadays, is it? No.
There's a ton in Ukraine right
now.
Yeah, probably.
There's a lot in Ukraine.
I tell you one thing. I really hope YouTube doesn't have issue with the emblem for the Finnish Air Force, because people are very uneducated.
The funny thing is like the Finnish Air Force used the swastika up until 2020.
Really?
Oh yeah. Your European Union was furious for years about them still using it.
And they're just like, we don't give a shit.
Pretty much.
I swear I've seen model kits of Finnish Air Force, but they have the roundels. Like the roundels, and you know, like World War II and the foot roundels instead of the swastika on it.
Some yeah. Sort
of probably a little bit of political correctness going there.
It was. The first aircraft from Sweden. The editor of the Swedish newspaper, and I might get this wrong, but Aftonbladet, Vladimir Lenglet, bought an NAB Albatross aircraft from the Nordiska Avitac AB factory, which, with funds gathered by Finland's Vanir Swedish for Friends of Finland organization. This aircraft, the first to arrive from Sweden, was flown on 25th February 1918 by Swedish pilot John Allen Heigerth, who on 10th of March became the first commander of the Finnish Air Force. The aircraft had to make a forced landing in Jakobstad with when its engine broke down. And the gentleman over here on the left, that is Vladimir Lenglet, and then the other gentleman there, that is John Allen Heigerth.
Damn, that is a man of style.
Why does you said Lenglet's on the left?
Yeah,
he kind of looks like Roosevelt.
I was just thinking that it's the glasses and the mustache, isn't it?
Yep, yep, yep.
The Albatross B-2. The fuselage, which was atypically strong for the air, was primarily composed of plywood. The primary structural members of this fuselage comprised four longer units of mixed construction, comprising ash forward of the cockpit and spruce to the aft, that tapered sharply towards the rear. The design of the fuselage was commonplace amongst the company's twin-seat aircraft. The nose of the aircraft featured a rounded metal panel along with the aircraft's engine. Various engines would be used to power this type, such as the Mercedes D2, which was capable of up to 120 horsepower, which had to be blistering fast for the time.
That's pretty powerful for back then.
The majority of the engine block was uncovered. Cooling was achieved via radiators fitted to the sides of the forward fuselage alongside the cockpit. The B-2 was operated by a crew of two, as was commonplace at the time. The pilot was seated in the rear cockpit, while the observer was seated in the forward position. The field of view from the observer's position was partially obstructed downwards by the center section trestle, while the forward view was negatively impacted by the protruding engine block. To improve the downward field of view, large square cutouts were present in the lower wing spars. The lower wing also had a shorter span than its upper counterpart. The structure of the ring followed the company's established practices, comprising a pair of spars, the rearward of which being roughly in the middle of the ring, making the trailing edge atypically flexible and thus gave the B-2 a level of inherent stability. It had ailerons with an inverse taper, while the operating cables ran externally over the surface of the lower wing. The B-2 was furnished with a large triangular tail. It had an unbalanced rudder and elevator control surfaces. Yep. Both the tailplane and fin were braced by a streamlined steel strut. The structure was mainly composed of lightweight steel tubing, while the exterior covering was fabric. The undercarriage used a traditional V-shaped chassis, which was also composed of steel tubing. A claw-type brake was fitted to the center of the axle. The tail skid, which was made of ash, featured an elastic shock cord and was installed upon an inverted pylon structure. During 1914, Albatross Flugzeugwerk toured several countries across Northern Europe, performing displays of the then-new B-2. It was considered one of the best primary trainer aircraft available at the time. However, both the landing gear and propeller of the demonstrator aircraft were damaged upon its arrival in Sweden. Due to the outbreak of the First World War, no spares could be sent, and the aircraft was interned. It was subsequently repaired and operated in the trainer role by the Swedish Air Force. This aircraft was later copied and manufactured in Sweden by six different aircraft companies.
That is actually a very nice-looking aircraft. I love the fact that half the engine sticks out of it.
Right. And this here was also a feature in this picture of the B-2. It's like, they moved the radiator from the side of the fuselage to right above the engine.
So yeah, why do you need a wide field of view? I mean, you know, you're going straight. You just need to look forward a little bit.
And there is some vacuum form kits available for this, but you know, why would you want to do that? Ring nut wings, if you can find one, that's going to be your best bet for getting a kit of the Albatross B2.
Just as long as you take out a second mortgage.
More than likely, yeah, that's probably going to happen.
I have a feeling in New Zealand we have one of these, a B2, that flies. I'll need to check. We've definitely got the one in the background, the BE2. We've got one of those. I've seen that fly, but the Albatross, I'm not sure if we have one. But I'd love to build one just because you got that wood paneling down the side.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful aircraft.
Yeah.
It's just something about World War I biplanes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the second aircraft from Carl Gustav Blomfield Erik von Rosen. Swedish Count Erik von Rosen gave the Finnish Reich government its second aircraft, a Fallen Type D. This aircraft received the designation F1. Its pilot, Lieutenant Niels Kindenberg, flew the aircraft to Vasa on 6 March 1918, carrying von Rosen as a passenger. As this gift ran counter to the policy of the Swedish government and no flight permit had been granted, Sweden fined Kindenberg 100 Swedish crowns for leaving the country without permission. The F-1 aircraft is considered by some to be the first aircraft of the Finnish Air Force, which did not exist during the Civil War. While the Red Side flew a few aircraft with the help of some Russian pilots, the F-1 aircraft was destroyed in an accident which killed its crew not long after it was handed over to the Finnish. And we got Erik von Rosen, he's the gentleman on the left. And then we have Lieutenant Niels Kindenberg, which is the gentleman on the right.
What the fuck?
D. Yeah. Which, ahead of its time, it's a monoplane. Or monowing. The Fallen D was a license-built Sweden Moran Salonier Type L. Some crazy French word there. Which was a Solnier. French... Saulnier?
Yeah.
All right. A French parasail ring for a two-seat scout airplane of the First World War. The Type L became one of the first successful fighter aircraft when it was fitted with a single machine gun that fired through the arc of the propeller, which was protected by armored deflector ridges. Real quick, something to add to this. It's like they had tried to come up with like some sort of synchronization, but it's like, you know what, we'll just put steel on the outside of the propeller. That'd be just fine.
Yeah, because there's nothing like having your rounds fire off at 90 degree angles when it hits it. It yeah, must be right? disconcerting as well just to hear that. You know, knowing that you are hitting your own propeller, and if there is a little point of weakness, you won't have a propeller.
That'd be fine. Its immediate effectiveness in the role launched an arms race in fighter development, and the Type L was swiftly rendered obsolete. The original Type L used ring warping for lateral control, but a later version designed Type LA was fitted with ailerons. It didn't have any ailerons on the first one. It was wing
warp.
Yep, yeah. Just the series of cables would pull the ring one way or the other.
It's got to be annoying, though, being an aircraft manufacturer back then. It's like, we've designed this brand new aircraft, it's revolutionary, it's going to be the next best thing. And then, like, a month later, it's, hey, this is obsolete already.
And I found a few kits. Edron makes one in a 148. AZ Model makes one. And then, if you hate yourself and want to do resin, there's an Omega Models.
Hey, I have an Omega Models. I also hate myself.
Well, there you go.
It's universal.
I wasn't expecting the pilot to be like right under the wing. Usually they're just behind it, and that's weird. That's cool. I like it.
Bro gets covered from the rain.
And the two of these, there was no different designation from a 2C Type L and a 1C Type L.
Just to make things fun.
Oh, yeah. All right. Insignia of the Finnish Air Force, 1918 to 1945. Von Rosen, later one of the founding members of the National Socialist Bloc, or National Socialist Bloc, a Swedish National Socialist political party, who also just happened to be brother-in-law to Hermann Göring.
About to say, look at that gut.
I mean, that again, this is the peak of human evolution right here, man. What are you talking about?
That is like the male body type we all strive for.
Yeah. And we're all going to be there one day.
I'm heading there. Calories don't count on holiday.
Exactly. But anyway, he had painted his personal good luck charm on the Thulin Type D aircraft, this being a blue swastika, the ancient symbol of the sun and of good luck. The right circular background originated when the Finns painted over the advertisement from the Thulin Air Academy. The swastika was officially taken into use after an order by Commander-in-Chief C.G.E. Mannerheim, the gentleman here on the right, on 18th March 1918. During World War II, they adopted the German swastika, of course, you know, during the Continuation War. The FAA changed its aircraft insignia back to the original blue in 1944 due to an Allied Control Commission decree which prohibited fascist organizations. It nevertheless continued to use the swastika in unit emblems, unit flags, and decorations, including on uniforms, until 2020. And, yeah, the rest of Europe wasn't really that happy with that, from what I've read.
I wonder why.
Well, yeah, it's like we talked about. It's like Finland was pretty much, you know, they was in the war for themselves.
Yeah.
During the Continuation War, it's like after they took back pretty much the land that, you know, was had been taken from them at the end of the Winter War, and went a little bit further into Russia, they pretty much just stopped and made a very fortified front line.
Yeah, I'm sure like the Germans were probably like trying to get them to like keep going and, you know, stay in the fight, and they just went, yeah, nah, we're back to where we started, we're fine, piss off,
yeah,
leave us alone.
Thanks for the stugs and shit.
Well, then you have people like my grandpa that, you know, just volunteered in the Wehrmacht, well, the 5th SS, but that's a different
thing. I was about to say.
The Finnish Civil War, January to May 1918. Along with aircraft shortages, the Whites also did not have any personnel, so all the pilots and mechanics also came from Sweden. During the Civil War, the White Finnish Air Force consisted of 29 Swedes, 16 pilots, 2 observers, and 11 mechanics. Of the pilots, only 4 had received military training, and one of them operated as an observer. 2 Danes, 1 pilot, 1 observer. 7 anti-commie Russians, 6 pilots, 1 observer, and 28 Finns, 4 pilots, of whom 2 had military training, 6 observers, and 2 engineers with 16 mechanics. The first Air Force base of independent Finland was founded on the lakeshore near Kolho. The base could operate 3 aircraft. The first aircraft arrived by rail on 7th March 1918, and on 17th March 1918 took off from the base for the first time. In 1918, the Finns took over 9 Russian Stettin M9 aircraft that had been left behind.
Oh, that's cool. Ooh, those are cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love flying.
I love flying boat.
I love flying boats. They're my favorite aircraft.
I have a soft spot for them too, especially the PBY, but it's like trying to find a good kit of that.
Yeah.
The Stettin M9, or it was also known as this is Russian. I think I could pronounce this right.
Grigorovich.
Grigorovich?
Yeah.
Hey, that sounds right.
Rolls off the tongue.
It's like, when it comes to Russian and French, I'm just... And a lot of Finnish, too, surprisingly. Anyway, it was a Russian World War I air biplane flying boat. The aircraft also carried out photo reconnaissance, artillery spotting, and air and combat sorties. 9 M9s were captured by Finland during the Russian Civil War. One was flown by a Russian officer to Antrey on April 10th, 1918. It sank the following day during evaluation.
Damn.
Eight more were taken over at the airfields of Åland and Turku. The aircraft were used until 1922 by the Finnish Air Force. They comprise a crew of two, length 29 feet 6 inches, ring span of 52 feet 6 inches, empty weight of 2,337 pounds, max takeoff weight of 3,549 pounds. The power plant is a Salmson P9 9-cylinder water-cooled radial piston engine with 150 horsepower, and it was driven by a two-bladed fixed-pitch push propeller. A maximum speed of a whopping 68 miles an hour.
Oof.
With one 7.7mm machine gun.
Wonder what that machine
gun... Dude, I drive to work faster than that.
Yeah, but, you know, this is doing it in style.
That's fair.
Hell yeah, just fucking ride open. The only kit I could find on through ScaleMates is Omega models. So, there you go.
They do a lot of those weird World War One aircraft, and I think I've got a couple that I can practice on, but I think I'll start looking. I really want a lot of those, and they sell for dirt cheap because no one wants them. You know,
right up your alley.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. From 10th March 1918, the Swedish Lieutenant John Allen Hegrath led the Finnish Air Force. He was, however, replaced on 18th April 1918 due to his unsuitability for the position and numerous accidents. The German Hauptmann Karl Sibber took over the role and commanded the Air Force from the 28th April 1918 until 13th December 1918. And he is the gentleman here in the picture with the dog standing in front of him, which would be the fourth one from the left.
The really tall,
the really tall fuck.
Yeah, the really tall gentleman there. By the end of the Civil War, the Finnish Air Force had 40 aircraft, of which 20 had been captured from the Reds. The Reds did not operate this many aircraft, but some had just been found abandoned on a land, which is the lake up, it's by the lake. A land lake. The one we just talked about. Yeah. Five of the aircraft had been flown by the Allies from Russia. Four had been gifts from Sweden, and eight had been brought from Germany. The Winter War, 1939 to 1940. The Winter War began on 30th November 1939 when the Soviet Air Force bombed 21 Finnish cities and municipalities. The Soviet Union had an estimated 5,000 aircraft in 1939. And of these, some 700 fighters and 800 medium bombers came to the Finnish front to support the Red Army's operations. As with the most aerial bombardments in the early stages of World War II, the damage to Finnish industry and railways was quite limited. At the beginning of the Winter War, the Finnish Air Force was equipped with only 18 Bristol Blenheim bombers and 46 fighters, 32 modern Fokker D-21s, and 14 obsolete Bristol Bulldogs. There were also 58 liaison aircraft, but 20 of these were only used for messengers. The most modern aircraft in the Finnish arsenal was the British designed and built Bristol Blenheim bombers. To prevent their aircraft from being destroyed on the ground, the Finns distributed their aircraft to many different airfields and hid them in the nearby forest. The Finns constructed many decoys and built shrapnel protection walls for the aircraft. Soviet air raids on Finnish airfields usually caused little or no damage, and as a result, often resulted in interception of the attackers by the Finns as the Soviet bombers flew homeward.
Basically, just letting them get as close as possible, and then intercepting. Which is what they...
Exactly.
That's something that they wanted to do during the Battle of Britain, the big wing, but it's like, well, I mean, here, the Soviets weren't destroying any aircraft. The Germans... We're destroying aircraft on the ground, so they couldn't, you know, the British couldn't afford to lose any just to do a big wing type thing, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Bristol Blenheim bombers. In 1936, the Finnish Air Force became the first export customer, ordering 18 Mach 1s, which were delivered from Britain between June 1937 and July 1938. 2 years later, Finland obtained manufacturing license for the Blenheim. Before any aircraft could be manufactured at the Valtion Lentokonetta Hadas?
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is.
Close enough.
Yep. Jesus Christ. The Winter War broke out, forcing the Finns to order more aircraft from the UK. A further 24 British-manufactured Blenheims were ordered during the Winter War and were delivered from the RAF's own stock. In the aftermath of the Winter War, 55 were constructed in Finland, the final aircraft being completed in September 1944. This brought the total number in Finnish service to 97, 75 Mach 1s and 22 Mach 4s. The Finns also received 20 half-completed ex-Yugoslavian Mach 4s captured by Germany. Together with manufacturing tools, production equipment, and a huge variety of spare parts, it was also captured. Although some of these have been damaged or otherwise destroyed through sabotage, the British-made Blenheims had RAF green interiors, RAF seatbelts, and instruments on Imperial units, while the Finnish-made had medium-gray interiors, Finnish-style seatbelts, and metric instruments.
That's weird. I wonder, like, you know, because when they were there, they were sent, I think, like, during the war as well. Like, the British sent stuff over to Finland. I wonder if they had, like, an agreement with Germany of, like, hey, we're supplying stuff to Finland as well. Leave that shit alone. You know?
Depending on what part of the war, it's like, the Germany had sent the ones they captured when was it, in 44?
Mm.
During the outbreak of the Winter War, though, Germany wouldn't even let stuff from Italy go through Germany because they did at the, you know, at the time it's like they still had a pact with Stalin.
All right.
So they didn't want to anger Stalin at that time.
Not at that
but later,
time.
You know, fuck him. Yeah.
I gotta say, this would make a really cool diorama with that little tractor.
Oh yeah,
it would. It would.
The Flittish Blims flew 423 missions during the Winter War and close to 3,000 missions during the Continuation War. Blim machine gunners also shot down 8 Soviet aircraft. 37 Blims were lost in combat during the war. After the war, Finland was prohibited from flying bomber aircraft by the Paris Peace Treaty, with Finland being Blims being placed into storage. In 1948, however, in 51, 5 were reactivated for use as target tugs, with the last flight of a Finnish Blim taking place on 20th May 1958. The usual nickname for these was the Pelti Haiki, or Tiny or Tin Henry. And there's many to choose from here. You have the old Hasegawa, which also looks to be an old frog kit, Special Hobby, Airfix. Hey, your favorite, Arc Models.
Ugh.
And classic airframes.
Although that... The Blenheim with the skis on it does kind of look cool in a weird way.
Oh yeah,
I think though.
Yeah, but knowing Arc Models, it wouldn't fit.
No, I think your best bet would honestly be the Airfix one. That's supposed to be a really good kit. That one. I like how I also like how much difference there is between a Mark I Blenheim you see up here and then a Mark IV. Just in the nose, they totally changed the nose around.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Arc Model one looks pretty cool. So.
Yeah, it does look cool. You just know that you would hate yourself building it.
Oh, definitely. All right. The Fokker D-21 was first ever used in combat by the Finnish Air Force during the Winter War. Upon the war's outbreak, a total of 32 aircraft was in Finnish service, all powered by the Mercury 9 engine. On December 1st, 1939, it achieved its first victory with the shooting down of a Soviet Tupolev SB bomber. The Fokker was evenly matched against the aircraft of the Soviet Air Force, and its rugged design with a radial engine and fixed undercarriage made it well-suited for Finnish conditions. As the Winter War continued and newer models of Soviet fighters appeared, the Fokker proved to be increasingly underpowered and too lightly armored, with only 4 7.92mm machine guns to compete. Plans to arm the Fokkers with 20mm cannons were dropped, and only one fighter was armed with a 20mm cannon and two 7.92mm machine guns. Another fighter was equipped with retractable landing gear, but due to less than anticipated performance improvements, was not continued in the series. The fixed undercarriage lent itself to both unimproved runways and conversions to skis for winter use. both of which were advantageous to the Finnish theater. See, a total of 12 aircraft were lost during the conflict, 6 being lost to accidents rather than enemy action.
Ooh, a 50% accident rate. That's
not
good. Yeah, but still 12. I mean, that's that's not too bad, really.
Well, when you put the numbers that way.
Yeah, I mean, six. six lost to accidents. That's not too terribly bad.
And only six lost to conflict out of 32. It's not actually bad.
No, it's not. The conflict between Finland and the Soviet Union was resumed with the Continuation War of 1941-44, and the Fokker was again a key element of the Finnish Air Force. During the first air battle, 6 Mercury engine Fokkers shot down a pair of Soviet Ilyushin DB-3 bombers. Several Finnish Air Force pilots became fighter aces with the Fokker. The top-scoring Fokker ace, Jormer Sarvenato, obtained 12 victories with the type. Many other future aces also scored at least one victory with the Fokker. The highest-scoring airframe was FR-110, achieving 10 victories. The aircraft survived the war and is on display at the Central Finland Aviation Museum. Finland continued to operate their Fokkers until 1949 and classified them as surplus to requirements in 1952.
I guess they just looking at the aircraft in the background, this would be a great museum to go to.
Oh, I know.
All those really random aircraft that they have. They look really well preserved as well.
They do. You can get on their website and you can look at everything they have. They got pretty much 360 views of everything.
Oh, that's nice.
And if you want to build one of these, we got Silver Rings, which I've never actually heard of that brand before, but there's that.
Resin.
Yeah, 30, it's resin.
A 32 scale resin as well. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. But again, it's not that big of an aircraft, so.
True.
You got classic airframes, and you got Special Hobby, which also make one in 1/32, I believe.
I think the Fokker is weird because I think Fokker is Dutch. It was a
yeah, it's
Dutch company, wasn't it?
Just a second. Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, my wife.
I hear the nails.
Well, thank you very much.
What'd you bring me?
I can just hear the dog skating around on a hardwood floor.
Same.
All right.
You didn't ask the question. What'd you get?
She made some oven roasted ham sandwiches.
Oh,
yum!
Oh, they are good. 10 Bulldogs suffered combat during the Winter War. The Bulldogs fought against the Soviet opponent, gaining 2 kills by 2 pilots for the loss of one of their own. The type shot down being one I-16 and one Tupolev SB bomber, both of which were superior in terms of technology compared to the Bulldog. The first aerial victory of the Finnish Air Force was achieved by a Bulldog piloted by Sergeant Tovio Utuu on 1st December 1939 over an I-16.
Say that name one more time.
Utuu?
I think it's just
sounds like you're saying ooh woo.
I mean, UUTTU.
Utu.
Utu?
I think so.
Okay. If you say so. The Bulldogs were used in advanced training during the subsequent Continuation War against the Soviet Union. It was an unequal span single bay biplane powered by a supercharged Bristol Jupiter 7 engine, air-cooled radial engine driven a two-bladed propeller. The structure was all metal with a fabric covering, using members built up from rolled high-tensile steel strips riveted together. In order to ensure the maximum field of view, there is a large semicircular cutout in the trailing edge of the upper ring and the inboard section of the lower was of reduced chord. Ailerons were fitted to the top ring only. It was armed with a pair of 303 Vickers machine guns mounted one either side of the cockpit. And I have to say, the Bulldog is a very sexy looking plane.
Oh yeah, I got to see one in real life twice now at Hendon. It's such a nice aircraft.
It really is a nice looking one.
Hence why I really want that kit.
Again, it's like, it looks like you're stuck with either Airfix or Omega on this. I was thinking that Edwin made one, but I don't know. I think they do.
Yeah. I made the 72nd scale Bulldog, the vintage classic one.
Yeah.
John, honestly, it's not a bad aircraft, but the 48 one I've seen people build up, and it just looks amazing.
As the war progressed, the Finns tried desperately to purchase aircraft wherever they could. This policy resulted in a very diverse aircraft inventory, which caused some major logistical problems until the inventory became more standardized. The Finnish Air Force included numerous American, British, Czechoslovakian, Dutch, French, German, Italian, and Soviet, along with Swedish designs. Other countries like South Africa and Denmark sent aircraft to assist in the Finnish war effort. Many of these purchases and gifts did not arrive until the end of the hostilities, but would see action later during the Continuation War. To make up for its weakness, the Finnish Air Force mainly focused on attacking enemy bombers from directions that were disadvantageous to the enemy. Soviet fighters were usually superior in firepower, speed, and agility, and Finnish pilots avoided them unless the enemy was in a disadvantageous position. As a result of these tactics, the FAF managed to shoot down 218 Soviet aircraft during the Winter War while only losing 47 to enemy fire.
Holy shit, that ratio.
Finnish anti-aircraft guns also had 314 confirmed down enemy planes, and 30 Soviet planes were captured. These were kills that landed more or less intact within Finland and were quickly repaired.
Even the anti-aircraft guns put some fucking work in.
Right?
Like, 314 from anti-air, that is a lot.
The Continuation War, 1941 to 1944. The Finnish Air Force found itself better prepared when the Continuation War against the Soviet Union started in 1941. It had been considerably strengthened and consisted of some 550 aircraft. Though many were considered second-rate and thus exportable by their countries of origin. Finland purchased a large number of aircraft during the Winter War, but few of those had reached service during the short conflict. Politics had also played a role, since Hitler did not wish to antagonize the Soviet Union by allowing aircraft exports through German-controlled territory during the Winter War. In addition to Fokker fighters and Bristol Blenheim bombers built under license, new aircraft types were in place by the time hostilities with the Soviet Union resumed in 1941. Small numbers of Fokker Hurricanes arrived from the United Kingdom, Marine, Saulnier. You say that, you know French.
Not really, it's Saulnier.
Saulnier. I need to write that down, how to pronounce that. MS-406s from France. Fiat G-50s from Italy, Numis Brewster F-2A Buffaloes from the neutral U.S., strengthened the FAF. A few dozen Curtiss Hawk 75s captured by the Germans in France and Norway were sold to Finland when Germany began warming up its ties with Finland. Finns reconditioned captured Tupolev SB bombers, Izhushin DB-3s, and Polkarpov I-153s for service.
Polikarpov.
As well. Polikarpov.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but just like the Bulldog, it's like the Gladiator. It is a very sexy looking biplane.
It's a great biplane. If you want to learn just how good, if you had a good pilot in a Gladiator, they could do some work. Was it Siege of Malta or Crete? I think it was Malta, where you had the three Gladiators that like continuously just shot down German air bombers. Faith, Hope.
I think Malta.
Yeah, Faith, Hope, and Charity. They literally held the line until they could get Spitfires delivered. Good story to look up. I think Roald Dahl had something to do with them, with Gladiators as well.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, little sidetrack there.
The Gloucester Gladiator. During the Winter War, the FAF obtained 30 Mach 2 fighters from the UK. 10 of the aircraft were donated, while the other 20 were bought. All were delivered between 18 January and 16 February 1940. First entering service on 2 February 1940, the Finnish Gladiator served until 1945, but they were outclassed by modern Soviet fighters during the Continuation War, and the aircraft was mostly used for reconnaissance from 1941. The Finnish Air Force obtained 45 aerial victories by 22 pilots with the aircraft during the Winter War, and one victory during the Continuation War. 12 Gladiators were lost in combat during the Winter War and 3 during the Continuation War. Two pilots became aces with this aircraft, Ovia Chuman and Payav Berg. Besides the FAF Gladiators, the Swedish Volunteer Air Force, responsible for the air defense of the northernmost part of Finland during the later parts of the Winter War, was also equipped with the Gladiator, known as J-8s, Mach 1s, and J-8AAs, Mach 2s. The Flying Regiment F-19 arrived in Finnish Lapland on 10 January 1940, and remained there until the end of the hostilities. Oh, excuse me. It filled a 12 Gladiator Mach 2 fighters, two of which were lost during the fighting. The aircraft belonged to and were crewed by the Swedish Air Force, but flew with Finnish nationality markings. The Swedish Gladiator scored 8 aerial victories and destroyed 4 aircraft on the ground. And for this, you got ICM, Revel, which is a rebox of something else, I believe. I think it's a rebox of the ICM kit.
I was going to say, it would be a rebox of something terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible for terrible. then Airfix, and if you really hate yourself, you got Rodin.
I hate to say it, though, the Rodin kit has the best box art out of these all, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just with definitely. That T-28 destroyed on the ground.
It does look good.
It does.
Honestly, I think, again, the Airfix one would probably be the better one.
Isn't that sad when Airfix come out on top?
I mean, at one time, Airfix used to be decent.
They're kind of getting back there now with their recent releases. The new stuff is actually pretty good now. It was just that sort of like 90s to early 2000s and 2010s was like that, the rough period.
Yeah, and then like a whole bunch of like old 70s stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, and the Hawker Hurricane, which is fucking tits in Finnish markings, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finland bought 12 Hurricanes, and the delivery commenced on 2nd February 1940. The Hurricanes were flown from St. Anthony Rails to Västerås, Sweden, via Scotland and Norway, by Finnish pilots in two batches. The first batch arrived in Västerås on 29 February, with the last aircraft arriving on 10th March. During the second batch flight, two Hurricanes were lost, one crashing in Norway and the other being damaged during landing in Scotland and left there. The Hurricanes were initially deployed to LLV 22 or Squadron 22. Later, they were transferred to Squadron 28 and then finally moved to Squadron 30. During the period of interim peace, two further Hurricanes were lost in accidents. At the start of the Continuation War on 25th June 1941, the Hurricanes were allocated to Squadron 30. On 2nd July 1941, a Hurricane was mistakenly shot down by friendly anti-aircraft at Vanikkala. The Finnish Hurricanes' first combat came on 3rd July when three Hurricanes encountered several Soviet fighters and shot down an I-153 Chaika?
Yeah.
Okay. In the next day, the Hurricanes shot down a Tupolev SB bomber. Other encounters with Soviet fighters took place on 15th of July with two I-153s claimed as being shot down. The last aircraft shot down by Finnish Hurricanes with an I-15 on 6 January 1942.
And also, you are right. Hurricanes and Finnish air markings looks really good.
Oh, yeah. And for Hurricane, you got a whole plethora to choose from. from Hasegawa, Classic Airframes, Hobby Boss, Arma Hobby, again, ARC Model, and Airfix.
And Tamiya.
Don't use the models.
That's an Atelier. That's one of those Atelier boxings.
Yep. Apparently.
Yep.
Apparently, Tamiya doesn't make their own Hurricane, which I found surprising.
Yeah. I think out of all of these, you'd want the armor hobby one. That'd be your best bet.
Imagine so.
Yeah. The Hasegawa one, I know Hasegawa has a good reputation, but during this time when there's this kind of box art where they don't display the swastika, the kits aren't that good. Like, I built their I-16, the Polikarpov one with the skis, and there was a lot of fit issues.
And some of these old Hasegawa ones, they're actually old frog model three boxes, so...
Yeah, so if you have a good reputation, why would you rebox frog?
Right?
It's like, do you not want to continue being good?
Yeah, do Lindbergh instead. Alright, the MS-406. In February 1940, the first 30 French fighters were allocated to Squadron 28, commanded by Major Jussu? Yeah, I'm going with that.
Close enough.
These aircraft received the Finnish designation of MS-301 to MS-330. They were used in combat against USSR during the Winter War and carried out 259 operational sorties and shot down 16 Soviet aircraft. The MS-406 were later involved in the Continuation War between November 1939 and 4 September 1944. Squadron 28 scored 118 aerial victories flying the MS-406, and the unit lost 15, or half its aircraft. Powered by the production 860 horsepower HS-12Y-31 engine at 304 miles per hour, tested with no problem to reach up to 450 miles per hour in a dive. Armament consisted of 20mm Hispano HS-9 or HS-404 cannon with 60 rounds in the V of the engine and fired through the propeller hub, and two 7.5mm Mach 1934 machine guns, one in each ring with 300 rounds each.
That's again, this not is a lot of ammo.
No, not really. But again, this is it's a nice looking aircraft in Finnish markings.
I really like the MS-406. I think it's a cool aircraft.
It is. Something about the front end. It looks pretty neat.
It was like the French version. It was like the French Hurricane, basically.
Yeah. You got some better kits to choose from here. You got some Special Hobby, Classic Airframe, Dora Rings makes one, AZ models. So.
The Hobby 2000 one is pretty good. That comes with the Hobby 2000, I think that is Hasegawa reboxed, but they throw in they have stuff like canopy masks and stuff like that with it. So,
oh nice.
You know, I'm not set on Dora Wings just because they're very kit to kit determined. Like, I've seen somewhere it's like Dora Wings and they've not been that good.
I haven't built one. I don't even think I've seen one built up before.
I've just seen a few people build up different Dora Wings and they haven't been that good, but I think because they're like short run kits. So, yeah. AZ model as well. Best box art out of these.
Oh, definitely.
I like the fact on the MS-406, you got that antenna on the bottom that folds up automatically when you lower the landing gear.
Well, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, you can see it's on this one, the Hobby 2000, it's folded up.
Oh, yes it is.
Yeah, so nice little thing to
Alright, the Fiat G50. The G50 saw its longest and most successful service in Finland at the end of 1939. Before the outbreak of hostilities, Finland ordered 35 Fiat G-50s. The first 10 aircraft were to be delivered before February 1940. A group of Finnish pilots attended a 10-hour training course at Riedonia Airport and later at Fiat Aviazione in Turin. On a training flight during a dive from 11,500 feet, Lieutenant Tapani Harmaja reached an estimated speed of 480 miles per hour. Which was considered excessive for the structural integrity of the aircraft, and the windscreen was damaged.
I'm surprised his wings didn't rip off.
Right?
They probably wanted to.
Dude was listening Germany, to Creed when he was doing that dive.
He should have just smacked him to the ground then.
Yeah.
Germany hindered the transit of the aircraft, so they were dismantled and embarked in La Spezia on a Norwegian ship, the Braga, which set sail for Turku, Finland on 20th January. Because of this delay, the first Fiat G50s did not reach Squadron 26 at UT until February 1940. The G50s were numbered from FA1 to FA35, but it seems that only 33 were delivered. A day before the truce, after the Winter War, they had received 30 of the 35 purchased and 33 not damaged during the procurement. The Fiat bases were under constant attack. The UT airfield was bombed by the Soviet Air Force. Consequently, the Fiats were transferred 2 kilometers to the northwest of UT proper, onto the ice at the Hakka Ajavri, or Falcon Lake in English. As Falcon Lake became bombed and attacked by fighters, another lakeside base was established near the city of Lahti, Hula, also on the ice, near Pajanimi Manor. Overall, Squadron 26 achieved 11 kills against 1 loss in combat and 1 pilot killed in an accident. The aircraft was repaired and returned to service in 1941. The first demonstration of the Finnish Air Force effectiveness came on 25th June 1941, when the G-50s from 26th Squadron shot down 13 out of 15 Soviet SB bombers.
Oh, damn. I bet they landed and they're all going, where's the rest of them?
Huh, they must have went somewhere else. During the Continuation War, the G-50s were most successful during the Finnish offensive of 1941. After which, they've become ever less impressive. In 1941, number 26 Squadron claimed 52 victories for the loss of only 2 fighters. The Soviets bought better, newer types of fighters to the front lines in 1942 and 1943, while the Fiats were becoming old and run down, and the lack of spare parts meant that pilots were restricted to a minimal number of sorties. Nevertheless, between 30th November 1939 and 4th September 1944, the G-50s of 26th Squadron shot down 99 enemy aircraft, including aircraft more modern than they, such as the British Hawker Hurricane, sent to the USSR.
Bro, the Finns were just dropping the Ruskies.
I mean, that's what better training gets you, I guess.
Yeah, funny that.
In the same period, Finnish Squadron lost just 3 Fiats lost in combat with a victory-loss ratio of 33 to 1.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to cough there for a minute. The Finnish G-50s were finally phased out of frontline duty in the summer of 44. They were no more than 10 or 12 left, and even as trainers, they did not last long, since they lacked spare parts. Unlike the slightly older MS-406, there was no effort to change their engine to make them better and faster. The last G-50s was struck off the inventory on 13th December 1946 at the FAF Flight Academy in Kakava. Alright, and we got Special Hobby, Airfix, Hasegawa, and AML, which I've never built one of their kits either.
I think I'd go for that Special Hobby one, just because they have the Finnish Aces scheme on it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they actually used the G50. So, new to me.
Oh, yeah. The Curtiss P-36 Hawk. After the fall of France, Germany agreed to sell captured Curtiss Hawk fighters to Finland in October of 1940. In total, 44 captured aircraft of 5 subtypes were sold to Finland, with 3 deliveries from 23rd June 1941 to 5th January 1944. In Finnish service, the Hawk was well-liked, affectionately called Susu, or Sweetheart. The Finnish Air Force enjoyed success with the type, credited with 190 kills by 58 pilots. Between 16 July 1941 and 27 July 1944, for the loss of 15 of their own. The Finnish Hawks were initially armed with either 4 or 6 7.5mm machine guns. While sufficient during the early phase of the Continuation War, The increasing speeds and armor of Soviet aircraft soon showed this armament was not powerful enough. From 1942, the state aircraft factory replaced the fuselage machine guns with either one or two 50 cal Colt or Browning FN machine guns, and installed two to four 303 Browning machine guns in each ring. The 12.7mm Brezhin UB or LKK-42 heavy machine guns was also used. The installation of heavier armament did not change the very good flying characteristics of the Fly Fighter, and the armament was much more effective against Soviet aircraft. Surviving Finnish aircraft remained in service with the FAA Aviation Squadron 13 and 11 until 30th August 1948, when the last operational Finnish Hawks were put into storage. In 1953, the stored aircraft were scrapped. And we got Academy, Hobbycraft makes one, and Wolfpack also has a Curtis Hawk that you can make.
See, look, here it is. Here's one of them, Hobbycraft.
Mm-hmm.
The Roundel.
Which, that's a later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when was that round? When was the Roundel brought in again?
During the 70s, they started using it on their aircraft, but they still kept the swastika on their unit insignias and on their uniforms.
But it was around the 70s that the actual Roundel was being used on aircraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, they've just changed out. They've put, like, modern markings on World War II aircraft.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Pussies.
And the comes to the Buffalo. The Brewster F2A Buffalo. The FAF's main mission was to achieve air superiority over Finnish-held territory and to prevent Soviet air power from reinforcing the Red Army's front lines. The fighter squadrons proved very successful in the Finnish offensive of 1941. A stripped-down, more maneuverable, and sufficiently lighter version of the American Brewster Buffalo was the FAF's main fighter until 1943. Results with this fighter were very good, even though the type was considered to be a failure in the U.S. Navy and with the British and Dutch Far East forces. In Finnish use, the Brewster had a victory rate of 32-1. With 459 kills to only 15 losses. In April 1939, the Finnish government contacted the Roosevelt administration requesting the supply of modern combat aircraft as quick as possible. On 17th October, the Finnish embassy in Washington, D.C. received a telegram clearing the purchase of fighter aircraft. The only strict requirements laid down by the Finnish authorities were that the aircraft be already operational and be able to use 87-octane fuel. Part of an F-2A shipment, 44 aircraft originally intended for the U.S. Navy, was diverted to Finland by the U.S. State Department. After the United States Navy agreed to instead accept a later shipment of F-2A2 variants. On 16th December, the Finnish government signed a contract to purchase 44 aircraft. An F-2A-1 variant designated Model B-239E by Brewster. Unlike other fighters already in service, the B-239E lacks self-sealing fuel tanks and cockpit armor. However, it was built with a more powerful engine in the form of the Wright R-1820-G5, producing 950 horsepower, compared to their first fighter, which was only 120 horsepower. So,
yeef.
And the capacity to carry four machine guns. The B-239E was also denavalized before shipping. Equipment such as the tail hooks and life raft containers were removed. The upgraded engine and slightly reduced net rate resulted in an improved power-to-rate ratio and better general performance.
It's a funny thing about the Buffalo. It's like every other country couldn't get it to work, yet the Finns were like, we love this thing.
One of the things we'll talk about later is because it's like in the Pacific, it was prone to overheating. Didn't have that problem in cold Finland.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think, like, one little theory as well, to say, like, you know, the US were constantly making new aircraft and upgrading and, you know, getting better ones, so they didn't really need to put much effort into, like, learning aircraft idiosyncrasies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you get what I mean. Whereas, like, you give it to say Finland, who can't build their own aircraft, they have to get what they can get. They kind of they're kind of forced to figure out what works with an aircraft and how to make the absolute best out of it. And suddenly they're like, oh, we've figured it out. And now we're getting like, you know, top scoring aces using this aircraft that no one else knew how to use.
The proof is right there with 32-1 ratio, 459 kills to 15 losses.
Yeah, that's like, it's like clearly, like everyone says the Buffalo wasn't a good aircraft. Clearly it is. You just got to know how to fly it and know and also knowing how to fight.
After delivery of the B-239E, the Finnish Air Force added armored backrests, metric flight instruments, and the Vasila THM-40 gun sight, and four 50-caliber machine guns. The top speed of the Finnish B-239s, as modified, was 297 miles per hour at 15,675 feet, and their loaded weight was 5,820 pounds. The Brewsters had their baptism by fire in Finland on 25th June 1941, when a pair of Buffaloes from 2nd 24th Squadron operating from Salonpa Airfield intercepted 27 Soviet Tupolev SB bombers near Heinola. Five SBs were claimed as down. Subsequently, attacks were repelled by Squadron 24 pilots, who by dusk had flown 77 sorties. Many Finnish pilots racked up enormous scores by using basic tactics against the Soviet aircraft. The default tactic was the four-plane Parvi or Swarm, with a pair of flying lower as bait and a higher pair to dive on enemy interceptors. The Soviet Air Force was never able to counter this tactic. The top-scoring B-239 pilot was Hans Wind with 39 kills. Lieutenant Hans Wind, with six other Buffaloes of Squadron 24, intercepted some 60 Soviet aircraft near Kronstadt, two Soviet PE-2 bombers, one Soviet Hawker Hurricane, and 12 I-16s were claimed for the loss of just one B-239.
Jesus fuck.
After evaluation of claims against actual Soviet losses, aircraft BW-364 was found to have been used to achieve 42.5 kills in total by all pilots operating it, possibly making it the highest-scoring fighter airframe in the history of air warfare. The top-scoring Finnish ace, Lamar Junchentlin, scored 34 of his 94.5 kills at a B-239, including 28 in BW-364.
Jesus. I mean, it's kind of difficult to think about those numbers. Like, one guy downed 94 aircraft by himself.
Right.
Talk about a fucking ace.
Yeah. That's like, it's like if you're a Soviet pilot and you see his aircraft in the sky, you're just like, nope, nope, turning around, nope.
Yep.
It's like, he's about to fuck me up. Nope, not doing it.
I'm like, oh no, I'm suddenly out of fuel. I must turn back and go to base.
Yeah, whoop, guns are jammed, can't fight, time to go.
Well, this is a nice excursion, time to go back home now, fellas.
Yeah, it's like, oh, nice patrol, no enemy aircraft countered, let's get the fuck out of here.
And again, if you want to build a Buffalo, there's classic airframes, special hobby again. And Tamiya.
Oh.
Although, if you ask Dennis about that Tamiya kit, I've never heard him so disappointed before.
It is an old Tamiya kit. So.
Yes. Is. And they even reboxed it. Yeah, they got the new boxing for it, and it's still... You can change the box art, but the tool's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you change that tooling.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with the special hobby.
Yeah, same here. Also, like, pretty sweet-looking camouflage as well.
Oh, yeah.
Finnish knew how to camouflage their aircraft.
I love the distressed whitewash that they put on a lot of them.
Yeah. Oof, so much fun painting that as well.
The BF-109G. Finnish Air Force ordered 162 aircraft, 48 G-2s, 111 G-6s, and 3 G-8s from Germany, but three were destroyed during transit, leaving the FAF with 159 BF-109s in total. FAF pilots had 663 air victories during 43-44 with BF-109Gs and lost 34 in combat, 20 shot down by enemy aircraft, 23 were non-combat losses, and other write-offs. 102 BF-109Gs survived the war. We'll just focus on the G6 since it was the most numerous. had a length of 29 feet 4 inches, a ring span of 32 feet 7 inches, a height of 8 foot 6 inches, empty weight of 4,954 pounds, max takeoff weight of 7,496 pounds. The power plant was one Daimler-Benz DB605A-1 V12 inverted liquid-cooled piston engine, creating 1,455 horsepower. The propeller was a three-bladed VDM 9-12087 with a 9-foot 10-inch diameter. Light alloy constant speed propeller, maximum speed of 330 miles an hour at sea level. Cruise speed 370 miles per hour at 20,000 feet, and a surface ceiling of 39,000 feet with a rate of climb of 4,470 feet per minute. Armament was two 13mm synchronized MG-131 machine guns with 300 rounds each, one 20mm MG-151/20 cannon, which was centerline, one 30mm Mach 108 cannon as centerline was also in a G6-U4 variant, or two 20mm MG-151 under-ring gondolas with 135 rounds in each gondola.
So known as a fuck ton of firepower.
Fucking A. And Edward, they make the best G6. Tamiya also has a G6, which I looks like I forgot the picture of the Tamiya kit up there. I was going to do that last night and forgot.
Yeah, well done.
Yep.
Although I'd want this Edard kit with the it comes with finish markings, but again, the roundels.
Yeah.
Although this wing, the wing art right there looks really really cool, so I'd make that.
I looked this kit up last night, and going on eBay, about $120.
Ooh.
It's been out of production for a while.
Yes. It's a bit.
But
rich.
It's also a dual combo kit, so you get two kits, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. The droid DO-17, received as a gift from Hermann Göring in 1942, and Junkers Ju-88s improved the bombing capability of the Finnish Air Force. The bomber force was also strengthened with a number of captured Soviet bombers, which had been taken in large numbers by the Wehrmacht during Operation Barbarossa. The bomber units flew assorted missions with varying results, but a large part of their time was spent in training, waiting until the time came to use the aircraft. Thus, the bomber squadrons of Flying Regiment 4 were ready for the summer battles of 1944. While the FAF was successful in its mission, conditions were not easy. Spare parts for the FAF planes were scarce, repairs took often a long time, and the state aircraft factory was burdened with restoration and repair of captured Soviet planes and of foreign aircraft with many hours of flight time, and with the development of indigenous Finnish fighter types. Also, one damaged bomber took up workshop space equaling three fighters. The Finnish Air Force did not bomb any civilian targets during either war. Overflying Soviet towns and bases was also forbidden as to avoid any unneeded provocations and to spare equipment. The what Finnish nice Air Force people. Shot...
Very considerate.
The Finnish Air Force in total shot down 1,621 Soviet aircraft, with losing 210 of its own aircraft during the Continuation War.
That's a pretty good ratio right there.
That's a... yeah. All right. And we come to the DO-17. 46th Squadron received 15 aircraft, which was a gift from Hermann Göring in January 1942. They had a crew of four, length of 51 feet 10 inches, a ring span of 59 feet 1 inch, height of 15 foot even, empty weight of 11,486 pounds, a max takeoff weight of 9,482 pounds, fuel capacity standard fuel of 339 imperial gallons, with auxiliary tank and bomb bay of 536 imperial gallons. The power plant was two Brahmo 323P 9-cylinder air-cooled radial piston engines, each producing 986 horsepower. Propellers was three-bladed variable pitch. Maximum speed of 220 miles per hour at 17,720 pounds at sea level, with a cruise speed of 190 miles per hour, or 19,482 pounds, at 13,123 feet, with a service ceiling of 26,900 feet. Armament was 6 7.92mm MG-15 machine guns in the front and upper, lower, rear, and lower beam positions, all firing from the cockpit area. And bombs, 2,205 pounds of bombs carried internally, with either 20 50-kilogram bombs or 4 250-kilogram bombs. And if you want to build one, again, you got Airfix, classic airframes, and ICM. And on to the Junkers, which this is going to be the last aircraft we touch on here. In April 1943, the Finnish Air Force brought 24 Ju-88s from Germany. The aircraft were used to equip No. 44 Squadron, which had previously operated Bristol Blenheims, but these were instead transferred to 42 Squadron. Due to the complexity of the Ju-88, the FAF spent most of 1943 training crews on the aircraft, and conducted only a handful of bombing missions. The most notable was a raid on the Lathö Partisan Village on 20 August 1943, in which the whole squadron participated, at a raid on the Lavensaari airfield, leaving 7 Ju-88s damaged from forced landings in inclement weather. In the summer of 43, the Finns noted stress damage on their wings. This has occurred when the aircraft were used in dive bombing, which I never knew that Ju-88 could dive bomb, but...
It was originally intended as a dive bomber.
Which I never knew that. I always thought it was a level bomber. Restrictions followed. The dive brakes were removed, and it was only allowed to dive at a 45-degree angle compared to 60 to 80 degrees previously. In this way, they tried to spare the aircraft from unnecessary wear.
Can you imagine being in an 80-degree dive in that?
Again, I don't see how.
Terrifying.
Fucking A.
Like, sitting in the nose, just like, I'm just staring at the ground, getting closer and closer. It's like, you gonna pull up anytime soon there, bud?
Bro's over there in the fucking pilot seat cackling.
Just playing Highway to the Danger Zone.
She never wrote me back. It's all my fault.
Could you see like some like alternative like reality thing, or like some like air show or something, like a fucking US Navy fucking dive bomber diving at a steep angle, and this fucking thing right next to it also doing a fucking steep angle dive?
I'd love to see that.
But oh man,
insuring that would be a bitch.
Yeah, you couldn't get insured for that. No way. One of the more remarkable missions was a bombing raid on 9th March 1944 against Soviet long-range aviation bases near Leningrad, when the Finnish aircraft, including Ju-88s, followed Soviet bombers returning from a night raid on Tallinn, catching the Soviets unprepared and destroying many Soviet bombers and their fuel reserves. At a raid against the Aerosledge base at Pinsnajoki in 22 March 1944, the whole bomber regiment took part in the defense against the Soviets during the 4th Strategic Offensive. All aircraft flew several missions per day at both day and night when the weather permitted. After the wars, Finland was prohibited from using bomber aircraft with internal bomb stores. Consequently, the Finnish Ju-88s were used for training until 1948. The aircraft were then scrapped over the following years. No Finnish 88s have survived, but an engine is on display at the Central Finland Aviation Museum, and the frame structure of a German 88 cockpit hood is preserved at the Finnish Aviation Museum in Vantaa.
That's a pity they couldn't keep one of them just for, like, preservation.
Really? I mean, they kept the some Blimmings, but no 88s. But there was also a law, too, with the Paris Peace Accords that they could not keep any German aircraft or
German
bombers.
I mean, they could have argued, we're putting it in a museum. It's not going to be flown, like, it's not going to be flown anymore. Just, you know, just to preserve something. But
right.
But then again, after the war, they scrapped a whole lot of stuff because they were very, you know, they were over the war. They didn't want to see anything from it, so they didn't want to preserve a lot of stuff. They just wanted to get rid of it anyway, so which you kind of understand.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out what 88s they flew, but there is a plethora. Dragon makes a whole bunch of good 88 kits. ICM makes some good 88 kits, and apparently Special Hobby also makes some. So.
Definitely looks like the A4 variant.
I believe it was, but I'd never seen anything that was for sure. After the war, the end of World War II in 1945 and the Paris peace talks of 1947 brought some limitations imposed on the FAF. For example, the Finnish Air Force could have no more than 60 combat aircraft, no aircraft with internal bomb bays, no guided missiles or atomic weapons, no weaponry of German construction or using German parts, a maximum strength of 3,000 personnel, and no offensive weapons. These revisions followed Soviet demands closely, when Britain, fearing that the provisions only augmented Soviet air defenses, tried to vary some of the conditions, though Soviets opposed such proposals. Opposed such proposals. The revisions were again revised in 1963, and Finland was allowed to buy guided missiles and a few bombers that were used as target tugs. The FAF also used a loophole to strengthen its capabilities by purchasing large numbers of two-seater aircraft, which counted as training aircraft, but were also not included in the revisions. These aircraft could have secondary roles. During the Cold War years of circa 47 to circa 1991, Finland tried to balance its purchases between East, West, and domestic producers. This led to diverse inventory of Soviet, British, Swedish, French, Finnish aircraft. After leading Finnish politicians held unofficial talks with their Swedish counterparts, Sweden began storing surplus Saab 35 Drakens, intended for transfer to Finland in the event of war against the Soviet Union. This practice continued until the 1980s. On 22 September 1990, a week before the unification of Germany, Finland declared that limiting treaties were no longer active and that all the provisions of the Paris Peace Treaties were nullified. In the 1990s, the Cold War over, the Finnish Air Force ended its policy of purchasing Soviet aircraft and replaced the Saab Draken with MiG-21s and its fighter wing with U.S. F/A-18 C&D Hornets.
Just a little bit of an upgrade.
A hell of a lot of upgrade.
Well, I mean, 1990 and still using the MiG-21.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all we have for the Finnish Air Force. So, big thanks for Clint for hosting this one. It was a really good episode.
It was.
Thank you.
Good shit.
Hopefully, it has inspired a whole bunch of you to start building some Finnish stuff, because they have some very cool camouflage schemes, some very interesting aircraft. And, yeah, it's just cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, we are going to have a brief intermission, then we'll be back with the hobby news, works in progress, and all that other regular good stuff. So, we'll be right back.
So, post-production Callum here doing the editing and stuff. So, usually after an episode, we go through hobby news, all the latest stuff in kits and whatnot, works in progress, all of that kind of stuff. However, there might have been a slight issue with that half of the recording, and it might have disappeared into the ether, and I definitely cannot restore it, and my bad on that. That's about half the episode that's disappeared, but you still managed to get about an hour 20 out of this episode, which is actually alright. So, really, the last thing I've got to say, just to close out the episode properly, is that don't forget, we do have our World War One group build still going on until the end of March. So that will be the 30th of March 2025. So you have till then to get your build. So anything and everything World War One. So aircraft, tanks, infantry, ships, anything like that. All good to go. Don't forget, we do have our group build Instagram page. If you're not big on Discord, you can also post to the Facebook page as well, all under Micro Machines Podcast for Facebook. Discord, you'll find a link with an invite to the server in, well, any of our socials, really. And the Instagram is MMP_group_builds. You'll find all information there. And as usual, at the end of an episode, we would like to thank our Patreon supporters for supporting our podcast. That is, with our Pinju supporters, Paul Gallagher, Lord Floki, Robert Judson, Braille Mastroni, and Liam Barnett. And of course, our Pinju follower, Robert Brisbane. You guys are awesome. You help keep us going and, you know, just help out just a little bit with covering some costs, but also just showing your absolute support in our podcast. Of course, we are releasing this at the very start of 2025. We did start recording last year and, yeah, there were things in there. So we're going to be looking at another new year of podcasting, new subjects, new competitions, new everything. And, of course, we will be celebrating our third year doing the podcast in March. So look out for that. We will probably do something a bit special for that. But in the end of things, I would just like to say thank you. You have been watching and or listening to the Micro Machines podcast. We thank you for your continued support in us, and we will see you in the next episode. Bye for now.